Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to the program. I'm your Bible teacher, Clark Covington. Good to be here today. Amen. God has given us another day. Amen. Coffee's tasting pretty good. Life is pretty good. Hopefully you're doing well. Amen. We're diving back into the scripture. We have been covering a lot of ground in a short period of time. I've been talking faster than I normally would talk to try to get it all in. And so we're just going to look at Genesis 6. What we'll do is we're going to look at Genesis 6, our verses for today, amen. We're going to look at those, which 5 through 7 would be our verses. And then we're going to kind of look at the bigger picture here of, can we just blame Satan for like all of this mishavoc or misfortune that we've seen in the earth and in our lives and so forth? And at the same time, can we just put all the blame on ourselves and not realize, hey, there's also a spiritual battle going on? But let's go to Genesis 6, our text verse here today, 5 through 7. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Wow. It hurt him in his heart. It grieved him in his heart. Because he saw every imagination. You know, can you think of a time in your life, you know, you were either lost or backslid, where every imagination and thought was evil continually? I'll be honest with you. You know, there was a time in my life where I don't know if it was every thought, but I really was messed up. You know, I really was thinking of bad stuff and coveting and like all the things the Bible said you shouldn't do. I was living that life. And oh, how that grieves the Lord. And I'm honestly astonished that he would save me and that he would call me into the ministry. I feel like I'm the last person that he would ever do that for. But he did, and forever I'm grateful, and forever I'm going to serve him and praise him, and that's just like the least I can do for what God did, because honestly, the fear of the Lord among those, you know, that can come to an understanding of him, that are saved, the fear of the Lord's a real thing. It's a, you know, the Bible says it's a fearful thing to be in the hands of the living God, amen. He saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the point here is, it doesn't say he saw the sons of God being evil. I mean, he knew, you know, those fallen angels were. It doesn't say he saw just these giants or freak creatures being evil. It says he saw all. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, there's that word heart, was only evil continually. You know, Romans 10, I believe it is 9 through 10. I'm going to look it up. This was our founding verse. And when we started Heartland Community Baptist Church years ago, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You confess with your mouth, but you believe in your heart. For with the heart, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's with the heart you believe unto righteousness. Man's heart was continually wicked. There was no thoughts of righteousness. And God's heart subsequently was grieved. Amen. God's heart was grieved. And when we play the blame game, my kids like to play the blame game. I blame you. I blame you. I blame you. I think they heard me preaching about it once and they do that now. When we play the blame game, we're absolving ourselves from an accountability that God's going to hold us to. And just because we want to absolve ourselves, you know, there's been some celebrities in the news that have gotten caught in some really, really bad stuff. And they may in their mind convince themselves they've done nothing wrong. But when they go to court, the lawyer's going to say, just because you think that doesn't absolve yourself from our laws, right? Just because we think a certain thing doesn't absolve ourselves from God's holiness. because we're not under his law if we've accepted Christ as Savior. But if we haven't accepted Christ as Savior, then there's no way we could curry favor with God. There's no way we could convince him, no matter what we think about how we're righteous. We talk a lot about seeking the Lord on this program. If Adam and Eve had been sold out to God and sought the Lord every step, they would have done to that serpent what Jesus did to the devil in the wilderness. They would have told that serpent, "Thus saith the word of God." Now you say, well, they didn't have the Bible. Well, they had God directly. You know, they spoke to God. They had fellowship with God directly. God was their father, literally, like their father, creator, right? Not just spiritual father. They had closeness with God. And if they told the serpent, you know, and you may say, well, Eve said, you know, God can't told us not to do that. Well, she said it in a way like quizzically. If she'd say, oh, no, you're confused. Our God has all power. Our God has all knowledge. Our God is sovereign. We believe him when he tells us don't touch it. And we're not going to touch it. That little serpent would have gone away because that temptation wouldn't have worked. But because that sin, because of that thought, because of that lust already just being in their heart, the Bible says, you know, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin comes forth, it bringeth forth death. Amen. And that's what we're seeing playing out here. And so don't let us go blame some spiritual force for our inherited sin. It is real, and we are held accountable whether we like it or not. Stay tuned from this break, and we'll get deeper into this message.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, so we see here in Genesis 6, 5 through 7, the evilness of man had God repenting that he had made him, right? And we, you know, you want to know, hey, why did God flood the earth? It's from the evilness of man, okay? Now, here's something interesting. We know that, and we'll touch on this in a later episode as well, but we know that God gave that rainbow, that bow in the sky, to as a promise he would never do it again. And I always looked at that as like oh, that's God's love, right? But literally, it also too could be God's, in his foreknowledge, knew that people like us would be here studying his word and wonder, well, things are really bad. Should we look for a flood, right? Because, you know, it could repeat itself. We see in Noah's time that God's going to have it rain 40 days. Now, here in Kings Mountain, we get a couple of days of heavy rain, and there are like creeks just about overflowing and whole fields full of water. I mean, it gets, you know, bad up here just after a few days. Now, I can't imagine 40 days of heavy rain like a deluge. It would just be crazy. That's what God did. He 40 days had that rain come down. I read a scripture the other day about Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. How long? 40 days. 40 is the number of testing. And so it kind of makes you wonder, well, how do you know he's not going to do that again? Because things are getting really bad. And God gives us that rainbow, that bow in the sky to help us understand, number one, he won't do it again. Number two, he loves us. And then number three, I believe the rapture is imminent, because this was a picture of God's judgment, a picture of salvation that we're about to see with Noah on the ark. But here we have now the real judgment starting with the tribulation period. And here in the program, we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. What that means is before the 7-year period of the tribulation happens, the church is taken out. And so that could be any day, any time. You could ask my wife, I tell her all the time, I think it's coming today, tomorrow. It could be any time. And I believe, you know, you may call me foolish, but I believe I'll see it. Amen. I believe my family, we're going to the Lord. We're not going to taste death in that regard. Amen. But I trust the Lord. I could be wrong, but I believe the rapture is imminent. And then you have 7 years of the tribulation, and then you have the millennial kingdom, you have God's judgment, then after that, you have the devil being cast away for an eternity, and you have heaven and that eternal state, as some of the scholars call it. But here we see in Genesis 6, God's saddened by how man is living, and God's going to have to do something about it, right? He is going to wipe this whole planet out as we know it. And that flood isn't a regional flood. It's not like someone saying the flood was all over the earth from their perspective, thinking their earth, quote unquote, was flooded. It's the whole earth was flooded, right? And so in order for God to preserve man, what is he going to have to do? He is going to take one from that time. And so when you look at the biblical timeline, as we've done before, mentioned before, if you, especially on a visual chart, you can see the lifespans from Adam down to Noah. You can see that it's not that far-fetched that much of the creation account could be passed on through those lifespans. Plus, we see God speaking to Noah as well, so God could just tell him, you know. But it's not that far-fetched that would occur. And then that would then lead to a understanding that we have today, because we understand Moses, the writer of Genesis, is on the other side of this flood. He wasn't like on the boat with Noah. He comes along, character coming along much later. But we also see here that God's grieved, okay? But that Noah is going to spend decades, maybe even 100 years, building this ark. So we see God's grieved, and God is going to do something, okay? And that this has gotten very bad on earth. But we also see that God's days and times are different than ours. Because if I've had enough, right? If there's something going on and I've just had enough, then that rocket's going to go off quite soon. You know, that bottle's going to pop open very soon. I could think of, you know, issues with our kids or something. It's like, if I've had enough, let them do one more thing and I'm going to let them know I've had enough. Right. So my reaction is instantaneous. God's reaction is, oh, maybe 100, 200 years, but it's going to go down. Right. You know, I mean, it's incredible, but you know, God's timeline is different than ours. And what that means is those that were living wickedly, as Noah built that ark, and I've heard it beautifully put, like when he built the ark, he probably had labor people, you know, he had people helping him. He had people passing by. He probably had to get, you know, different parts and things from different people that would come and install them. Like, you know, it was a witness for say 100 years of what was to come. And yet no one got on that ark, no one. And so what we see is that it's absolutely God's preference to offer mercy before judgment, right? To offer grace before judgment, to give people. Can you imagine? I mean, never seeing something of this scope and size. And Brother Ken Ham with Answers in Genesis built an ark to the specs that we're going to read in very soon here in Genesis. There are specs about how many cubits wide, how many cubits tall, etc. Well, the brother built it, amen? You go there and take a look at it. I mean, we went there, and it's not a holy pilgrimage or anything. I mean, you know, not at all, okay? Like, you don't have to go there, nothing. You know, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. You could be listening to this in a desert, and if you trust the Lord in your heart, you know, you believe he died for you at Calvary. He shed his precious blood to atone for your sin. You trust in him, the death, burial, and resurrection. You're as saved as anybody, and you'll be with him in heaven, amen? That said, if you have a chance and you go see this ark that was built to the specs in the Bible, you start saying that is absolutely massive. That might be one of the biggest ships I've ever seen. Imagine like a modern day cruise ship, but it's all wood, you know? It's like, whoa, it's just absolutely spectacular just to look at. And then you get in there and it's massive and you say, yeah, I could see a lot of living creatures in here. And then they have, again, just so many good resources there to look at and to see. And it helped because this is not built by someone that's just making a theme park. This is built by someone that spent their life and their career studying Genesis and, arguing for the faith, apologetics, sharing true facts, archaeological discoveries, etc. So you see that and you realize it was a witness. It was God's mercy. And to bring it to today, God gives us gospel tracts. God gives us street preachers. God gives us the preacher behind the pulpit. God gives us testimonies. God gives us so many ways to share his true message of hope to all who would believe. Because just as sure as he flooded the earth then, he is coming back again. And just as sure as his judgment rained down then, his judgment will rain down again. And so it behooves us to, number one, believe in the living God, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us at the cross at Calvary. And then number two, for us to share that belief with everyone that we can before it's eternally too late. The salvation business is God's business, and that's what we must be about until he calls us home. Thank you for listening. Tune in next time as we get deeper in Genesis 6. Take care, God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.